doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing well. Good to talk with you finally. How are things in Mississippi?
Oh, things in Mississippi pretty good.
Good. Now, how did it end up that you ended up in Mississippi?
Well, I ended up in Mississippi. Came from Kansas City, followed a woman down here. You know, that'll get you every time, young lady. I ended up in Jackson, Mississippi.
How did the relationship with the woman turn out?
Well, for a while it turned out pretty good. And after a year or so, hit a bad run.
But you stayed in Mississippi.
So, yeah, because I've met a lot of friends down here, and I got comfortable down here, and instead of going back to Kansas City, I just stayed in Mississippi.
Now, Pork Chop, let's start here in the beginning. How did you get into professional wrestling?
Well, I wrestled amateur for the YMCA for about 15 years. And I was in an amateur wrestling, and I met Bruno Sammartino. He used to come to my hometown, Washington, D.C. He used to come to the YMCA and watch guys amateur wrestling. And he saw me wrestling, and he asked me to, and I would thought about wrestling professional. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I think about it all the time, but I don't know nobody to get me in. He said, well, now you know somebody. And he said, my name, I said, yes, sir. I said, I know you. I watch you all the time. And I said, I see you at the YMCA. And this was in 1964. And he said, well, you coming down to the matches tonight? And I said, yes, sir. He said, when you get down to the matches tonight, ask for Bruno Sammartino, and they'll let you in. Then I'll introduce you to the old man, Vince McMahon. He the one started me. The old man, Vince McMahon, in 1964.
So you actually started in 64.
Yeah.
1964 was a very different time in this country.
Yes, sir.
When it came to a black-white relationships, what was it like performing in front of crowds in 1964 as an African American man?
With me, it was just a bunch of people out there watching the wrestling match. But a lot of the white guys, they didn't like it. Because they said, we're trying to take over their profession. And I said, no. I said, I'm a man just like you. I said, the only thing different than me and you, you white and I'm black. And I say, if I cut my hand, I'm going to bleed red. You cut yours, what color are you going to bleed? He said, well, I guess red. I said, then we ain't no different. That's the way I look at it. But, you know, a lot of the white back there, they look at it a different way. They said, this is our profession. I said, no. This is anybody's profession that want to do it. I said, it take a man to do this. And I said, that's what I am. I am a man. And you know, slowly, the gates started opening up, the doors started opening up, and I started walking through them. You know?
Now, Pork Chop, when you were touring around, because wrestling was a traveling business, when you went to towns, was there ever any trouble with going to restaurants, staying in hotels, things like that back in the 60s?
Oh, yeah. You had to pick your hotel. and you had to pick your restaurant. So if you go in that second one, it won't serve, you know. But then you don't go there, you know.
How do you get past that? I mean, I think that would be very difficult, that people who were buying a ticket to see you perform yet wouldn't serve you in a restaurant.
Yeah, it was different. But, you know, you couldn't hold anybody, because if I'm your boss, what I tell you to do. So it's not your fault. It's the guy that owns it, fault. So I told him, one time I went to go in the restaurant, the guy told me, said, well, you can't come in here. I said, oh, okay. So what I did, I got about 10 of my friends, and we just stand out in front of the building. And like when people started coming in, we told them, say, hey, they said they're full, they ain't got no room. People turned around and left and went back. What can I know?
Mm-hmm.
We did that about a couple of hours, and the guy, he came by, he said, hey, man, he said, y'all killing my business. I said, no, I said, we just stand out here talking. You know?
Yeah. Now, Pork Chop in the business, we've talked to Thunderbolt Patterson about this, because he started about that same time. Was there a difference in the pay that you would have gotten as opposed to a white man?
Yes. It was a big difference in the pay. In Jackson, Mississippi, where I'm at right now, in Jackson, Mississippi, I was the main event, and I was wrestling Stan Hansen. Remember Stan Hansen?
I do.
Okay, we was the main event. And I found out, I got, for that match, I got $2,500. And he got $5. So, do that sound right?
Not at all. Now, did you approach the promoter about that?
Yes, sir. And he told me, he said, no. He said, the guy that booked you, he said, I'll give him $5,000 for you, $5,000 for Stan Hill. So, I didn't say no more to him. So the booker, the next time we was in Jackson, Mississippi, we had a sellout. And so when I got my pay, I got $2,500. And I said, hey. And then I called him. I said, let me tell you one thing. I say, I didn't say nothing about it last time, but I'm saying somebody now. I say, I found out my opponent got $5,000 and I got $2,500. I said, what we in the same match? And I told him, I said, now, if I don't get my other $2,500, it's gonna be a problem. I said, I'm going in my car, and when I come out, I'm taking my bag out to my car. When I come back, if I don't have my other $2,500, it's going to be a problem up here. And I ain't had no more problems since then. That's because we was in the same match. I got one penny, he got another penny. I said, don't make no kind of sense. So I said, other words, just because I'm black, he white, so I'm supposed to get less than he get. And I said, and I told him to the face, the next time this happens, I said, me and you gonna have a problem. And I know he carried his gun, and I told him, I said, I know you carry your gun. I said, but if you ever pull it, you better fight.
Because
if you don't, I said, you try to kill me, that's what I'm going to try to do to you. And I ain't never had no more problems. Because if I'm working for you, if you tell me you're going to give me a certain price, then when it's time to pay me, you give me another price? No, that don't make sense. Right or wrong.
That's true. Was this a problem all around the country?
No, after that, the word got out, I ain't never had no problem.
Now, Pork Chop, how did you get the name Pork Chop? Now, Cash is your last name, but how did you get the name Pork Chop?
Well, a guy in California gave me that. I was wrestling out in California. I was going into California, and me and him went to a restaurant. He said, let's go get something to eat. So I was looking at the menu, and I said, boy, I said, boy, these pork chops sure look good. He looked at me, he said, he said, your last name is Cash. I said, yes, sir. He said, I got a good idea. I said, what? He said, you never been here before? He said, we gonna give you that name, Pork Chop Cash. And the rest is history.
Now, Pork Chop, when you were in the ring, what was your style? When you went into the ring, what did you want to accomplish?
Well, when I went to the ring, I was trying to accomplish the best. The best is my ability. I wanted to be the best. If you was good, I wanted to try to be better. That's the whole idea. Being the best. Being number one. You know, it's all right to be number two, but being number one is better, right or wrong.
Well, that's true, and it's interesting, Pork Chop, because one of the bigger aspects of the wrestling industry, other than being in the ring, you got to get people into the building, especially in your day, and do a...
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, Pork Chop, how did you come up with your promo? How did you learn how to speak on television?
Well, I figured old timer told me. He said, if you want to be good at what you do, he said, you got to know how to talk. He said, and you got to know how to talk to the people. That's who I talk to. I talk to the people. I tell them, I said, ooh, I said, you know song is good. I said, you know, so and is good. I said, but hey, if you never seen me, I said, I'm the best because I am different from all the rest. You understand what I'm saying?
So, Pork Chop, for people who maybe have never heard you do a promo, if you were going to tell somebody to listen to this radio show with you on it this morning, could you do a promo for us so people would understand what that would sound like?
Okay. What's the name of your show?
Now, with Scott Spears.
Scott Spears. I said, listen, if you want to hear something, and you want to know something, talk to Scott Spears. I said, because he's the man of the hour, and the man with the power. Too sweet to be silent. You understand what I'm saying? And they'll get that.
Absolutely. Now... Now, wrestling with and around Bruno Sammartino, now it seems like a lot of people really liked him, and a lot of people really didn't like him. What did you think of him?
Oh, I thought he was the greatest wrestler of all time. Because he was the man, if he tells you something, that's what he's going to do.
Who was...
You know, baby, you had Joe Schwarzenegger, you know, Buddy Austin. You remember Buddy Austin?
I do.
Yeah, him and Bruno used to have some drag out, you know.
Now, who were some of the people who stick out in your mind that you had great matches with?
Whoa, man. Dan Hansen was one of them. Me and Thunder, but we never wrestled. My buddy Austin, I wrestled him. Noel Austin, you remember him?
I do.
I wrestled him. But I think me and Stan had kind of best matches.
Now, like I say, we've had Thunderbolt on this program quite a few times. You say you never wrestled Thunderbolt, but what did you think of him when he broke into the business, hearing what he was doing in the business?
Hey, I thought he was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But he could talk. He could talk to the people, and the people bought him. You know what I'm saying?
He had a very...
That's the whole idea. Talking to the people and get the people to come to see.
He had one of the most unique ways of talking, I think, of anybody there ever was.
That's it.
Now, there was a person you came across in your career that a lot of people have mixed feelings about, and that's Ole Anderson. A lot of people said he was difficult. People have called him a racist. How did you find Ole Anderson?
Now, Ole Anderson. Now, he was a... How would I pick this? Ole Anderson, he going to try you. If you back down, then he'll run over you. But if you stand up and brace him and face him, then he'll talk to you like a man. But if you don't stand up and brace him like a man, he'll run over you. Yes, sir. That's how Ole Anderson was. Because he figured if you can't stand up to him, then you ain't no man. But if you stand up to him, then he'll treat you like a man. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Now, another person you worked with who went on to become a huge name in wrestling was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yes, Roddy Piper. He was something else.
But what'd you make of him?
Man, you had to know Roddy Piper, cause his style was so much different from anybody else, and that make him different from anybody else. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Now, in the early 1980s, cable television came in, and you were working for Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions on TBS. What was it like to be seen all across the country like that?
Oh, man. To me, it was great, because everywhere you went, somebody knew you. You know? That was the best thing that ever happened to a professional wrestler.
Now, did the money get better in the 80s when the television came in?
Oh, yeah. Got a whole lot better.
Now, just to give people an idea, not to talk dollars and cents here, but what would a wrestler of your stature make in a given year?
Okay, it's called where you was at. If you was in Atlanta or Charlotte, North Carolina, you can make anywhere. Now, it had to be a known name. Back in the 80s, you can make 60, 70 grand a year.
Now, how many days a year were you working?
Back in the 80s, I had to beg for a day off. I worked almost 60, a lot of guys worked 65,
yeah,
you have a day off in a year.
What toll does that take on your life and lifestyle?
Well, that was hard on your body because you need that time to rest. And back in that day, the guys was, they were doing a lot of clubbing. They weren't getting no rest. They party all night, then they sleep all day, and then you got the rest of that night. I mean, hey, it was, on a lot of guys, it was hard. But I got my rest, you know, and like I say, for 3 years, I didn't have a day off.
Now, in the 80s, a lot of people talk about the prevalence of steroids, other drugs, because the schedule was so difficult. Did you see that? Were you ever involved in that?
No. I never did steroids, never did any kind of drugs. I was an athlete. I work out 6 days a week. I took off one day to rest. And I work out 3 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Now you...
I love my body. I put a lot of work in my body. Because when I go to that ring, I want to look like an athlete.
Now, did you see what other people were doing in those days?
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of guys do. But just because they did it, that didn't say I had to do.
Now you spent some time in Memphis, which was a big territory. What was it like to work in Memphis in the Jerry Lawler, Jerry Jarrett days?
Well, Memphis was hard now. Especially if you're working for Nick Smooth, he'll call you a baller in a minute. And the first time I went to Nick Smooth, he said, he sent one of his guys out in the dressing room and said, so the guy came out in the dressing room and said, where's the new boy? So everybody looking around, they looking at me. So one of the white guys said, hey, he's talking to you. I said, no. I said, he ain't talking to me. I said, because first of all, I don't see no boys in this dressing room. I said, we're all men. I said, but now if you see a boy up in here, you come over and grab it, he'll let you know that he's a man. Never had no more problems.
Mm. You know, Porkchop.
Then they said, who is Mr. Porkchop Cherry? I said, that's me. And I said, that's my name. I said, now, I said in the dressing room, I said, anybody want to call me a boy, you better do it now. I said, because if I hear about it, I said, somebody's going to have a problem up in here. And I said, this boy's going to beat the crap out whoever called him that. And I ain't never had no more problems.
Now, Porkchop, did you ever have any run-ins with Jim Barnett?
Jim Barnett. No, I ain't never had no run into Jim Barnett. Me and Jim Barnett, we got along good.
Now he was one of those guys who's kind of a legendary figure, and everybody seems to have a story or an imitation of Jim Barnett. What was your take on Jim Barnett?
Hey, Jim Barnett. Hey, to me he was all right. Like I said, he treated me like I was a kid.
Now, you also did spend some time in the World Wrestling Federation in 1988, when they were during their boom period with Vince McMahon. What was Vince McMahon like?
Let's see. Vince McMahon, which one? The old man or the junior?
Well, let's start with the old man.
That was saying the old man started me. He started me in the 60s.
Now, what was he like?
Oh, an old man? I love him. I wrestled around my hometown. And I had a job, and I told him, I said, well, I wrestled. I said, I worked from 12 to 6 in the morning. And I said, well, I can go any place, but I had to be back to go to work at 12. So he would book me 3 or 4 days a week. Close by Virginia, Roanoke, Baltimore, you know, close to my home. And I have enough time to come back, get ready to go to work. That old man treated me like I was the king.
Now, what was Vince McMahon Jr. like?
Never worked for him. Worked for him one time.
Now, you worked a match with a gentleman who became pretty well known, the Ultimate Warrior. What are your memories of that match?
The Ultimate Warrior. He was something else. He was, Ultimate Warrior was something else. But see, I didn't wrestle Ultimate Warrior until, I didn't wrestle him. That's the only match I went wrestling for Junior. Vince McMahon Jr., when I was in Ultimate Warrior. Hell, I was 68 years old.
Now, a lot of people say he was kind of rough in the ring. Was he
different? Oh, yeah, he was rough and tough. I'm telling you now.
Now, did you ever have any association during your career with Ric Flair?
Yeah. Now, I wrestled Ric Flair. I wrestled Ric Flair several times. And me and Flair won an hour. Every time we wrestled.
Now, what kind of guy was he?
Flair was a different type of guy. In the ring, and he was a different kind of guy out the ring. Flair had his own style.
Now, was that a good or a bad thing?
For him, that was good. But everybody else, that was bad, because Flair would beat the crap out of him. And I told him. He told the referee, he said, man, that guy hit me so hard. So I told the referee, I said, you tell him, I say, if he don't want to get hit hard, then don't hit me hard. I said, well, if he hit me hard, I'm going to try to bust his head wide open. And the referee told him what I say, and we lock up like two cats and dogs. We went at it. Yes, sir.
Now, it's interesting because there's a lot of news this week around Ric Flair that at 73 years of age, that he's going to come out of retirement on July 31st and wrestle his final match in Nashville, Tennessee. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, maybe, is that what he want to do now? He can do it. But I ain't coming out of retirement. I just turned 81 years old, and I feel good. I'm going to keep it just like that.
Now, when did you know it was time to not get in the ring anymore?
Well, your body going to tell you. Say, hey. You're getting old, man. When you get up a certain age, when you get up in the morning and get ready to do something, and you can't do it, it'll let you know that it's time to hang it up. I quit wrestling in 2010.
So
it was 2010 or 2011.
So you,
and I figured, go ahead.
You wrestled till you were almost 70 then.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is that like to get in the ring when you're almost 70?
Oh, 70? Man, I was in shape. Yeah, at 70 years old, I could wrestle for an hour and didn't even break a sweat.
Now, at 81, I mean, obviously age catches up with all of us, but what would be the problem with getting in the ring if somebody said, "Pork Chop, we just want you to get in there and do something short and entertain the crowd at 81, could you still do it?"
Oh, yeah. I work out 6 days a week. I walk on the street there for an hour at speed 2.8. If you've been on a treadmill, you know how fast that is.
So at this point in your career, are you still taking bookings to do things in the wrestling industry?
Not that. You know, I get in the ring and talk. I'll get there with the guys at the table and talk. I don't have no thing to get in the ring now.
Now, at this point in your life, would you ever like to be maybe a manager or an announcer?
Nah. I had enough of it, man. Like I say, I did it for 60, almost 60 years.
Now, do you still like to travel outside of Mississippi?
No, I don't do too much traveling anymore. The kids worry about me driving, and I don't like to drive too far.
Now, well, you know, being such a great talker, I think you would have made a great broadcaster. That you never have an itch to do that.
One time I had wrestling is so much different than we did, and now. Now it's entertaining. But back in the day, I got the crap beat out. We got the crap beat out of every night. And now it's entertaining. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Well, I guess, do you still like to help guys, train guys, keep your foot in the door in some way?
Yeah, but the guys, the young guys now, I was at a wrestling thing. The guy was training some of the young kids, and this guy, the older guy, was training them. The kids told the other kid, "Oh man, don't pay no attention to that old man. Oh, he don't know what he's talking about. Hey, this is what we should do." And I looked at him, I said, "Hey, I said, let me ask you something, son. Let's come in." I said, "Is he training you or you training him?" He said, "But that old man, he talk about that stuff that, man, we don't want to do nothing like that." You know, I said, "Then you can be here training. You should go to a place that's in training." I said, "He's supposed to be the guy training you, not you training him." He looked at me and he said, "Who is you?" I said, "Cause if I was your trainer," I said, "Well, you know what I'd do? I said, I'd walk up to you now, and I would slap the crap out of your face. Then you didn't like it, and what I would do is pick you up and slam you, then I'd drop a knee right on your nose." And I said, "How you like that?" He looked at me, thought I was crazy. He said, "Man, I'm glad I ain't got that guy for training me."
Well, you know, Porkchop being no longer involved in wrestling at 81, in good health, how do you spend your days down there in Mississippi? What do you keep busy with?
That's what I keep busy with. Going to the gym. Going to the gym. I go to a lot of friends, hang out with a lot of the older guys. You know, hang out at the Pilot, the McDonald's. I go up there at the Pilot. Go to McDonald's, get a little something to eat, hang out with the Pilot with all the ladies coming in. McDonald's and at the Pilot. Hey, just hang out.
Now, Porkchop, at this point in your career, is there anything left you still want to do?
No. The only thing I want to do is, good Lord, to wake me up every morning.
Now, it's interesting, Porkchop, because you do something that I've only seen one other man do, and that was Captain Lou Albano, and that's put a rubber band in your beard. How did you start doing that?
In my hair. Well, now, my beard's so long now, sometimes I had 3 or 4 of mine. My beard is almost down to my waistline. That's how long my beard is.
So why do you put the rubber bands in it?
Well, put the rubber band around it to keep it together. Sometimes I don't put the rubber band around it, that I just let it hang out, let it blow, you know, let the air blow through. Then sometimes when I get ready to eat, then I have to put a rubber band around it so it don't get it all in my food. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Now, Porkchop, when you were... a lot of guys, when they retire, don't have any money left. They've spent it. A lot of them don't live very long, don't make it to 81. What's your secret to getting through the wrestling business, making it to 81, and having some money left at the end of your life?
See, a lot of guys drink and smoke dope and smoke it out. I didn't smoke, didn't drink, didn't do dope. So what I did is take off my money.
So you're doing okay at this point?
Yes, I'm doing okay.
Now, what, are you a good... good father? You talked about your kids not wanting you to drive very far anymore. Were you around when they were young?
Well, I wasn't around them when they was young a lot. I was reading it out, you know. But my kids, I got a couple of sons. We don't get along too good. But the girls, we get along great.
There's another guy in your career I wanted to ask you about, because he was another gentleman who kind of broke the color barrier along with yourself and Thunderbolt Patterson, and that's Big Cat Ernie Ladd. What was he like?
Big Cat Ernie Ladd was a meltdown. But the people know Big Cat Ernie Ladd because he played football. And when he came into wrestling, it wasn't too much different because people already know him anyway.
Well, most people say he was a really good guy. Was he a good guy?
Yeah, he was a good guy until you get him stirred up. Now, he was something else when you get him stirred up.
Now, another guy, Porkchop, who used to come on this show quite a bit, was Ox Baker. Did you ever work with Ox?
Ox Baker. He was something else. Yeah, Ox Baker was something else, man.
Now, what was it like to work with him?
Oh, man. He was almost like Ernie Lance. you got to get his attention and don't he kid you. But if he knows that he wasn't gonna run over you, and you hit him, he hit you twice as hard. You had to hit him twice as hard back.
What did you make of Hulk Hogan and his success?
Now, Hulk Hogan was... he was a different type of guy. Now, Hulk Hogan tried to... If the guy ain't big as him, he tried to run over. But you got to get his attention.
Now, what about Andre the Giant? Did you ever work with him?
No, I never worked with Andre. I've been in a tag match with him.
What was he like? People say he liked to drink and he liked his women. What'd you make of him?
He liked to drink, he liked to eat, and he liked his women.
Was he a good guy?
One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. When he came to my hometown, he told the old man, Vince McMahon, that guy right there, named Pope Chop, I want him on every card I'm on. Because he's the only guy I want to ride with.
Who?
And me and him rode together.
Who do you consider to be the greatest wrestler of all time?
Oh, man. That's hard to say. Bruno Sammartino, Thunderbolt Patterson, Bearcat Wright, Bobo Mazzia, Sweet Daddy Six.
Bobo, what are your memories of Bobo?
Yeah, I wrestled around Bobo hometown. I wrestled around there for about a year. He took care of me. I think he was a great wrestler and a great guy.
Mm. Porkchop, how many years from now would you like people to remember your wrestling career and remember you?
Well, I hope any time they watch wrestling, they'll think about me.
I think they will. Porkchop, you got to promise to come back. We got to get you on with Thunderbolt. And you guys can share some memories of some guys, and we can have a good time. Will you promise to come back?
Well, I'll try to come back.
Well, I appreciate it. Porkchop, it's been a delight today. I appreciate it. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So be careful.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Porkchop.
Hey, you still there?
I'm still here.
I'm the man of the hour, too sweet to be silent. My name is Porkchop Cash.
Thank you, Porkchop. The legendary Porkchop Cash. Hey, that was interesting. We'll be back in 15 minutes with all kinds of good stuff. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.